already.
I will join you.
In the chance of our happy, and that we will be able to get a few words in with it. Concentration is right after the and then we'll come to follow me, and then we end with singing, which we're not even good at. Our best candidate is coming after verse 2, and we're having verses 2.
The thunder cloud passes.
train.
Worship. Would you be seated, please? It's a beautiful day. This is a beautiful place for us to gather to worship God. So welcome to all of you. If you're here for the first time or haven't been here for a while, we extend a very, very warm welcome to you and hope that you'll stay after the service, enjoy a cup of coffee and an opportunity for us all to get better acquainted with one another. I want to ask Ken if he would say a few words.
Kevin, aren't you supposed to say it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood and sing it? Whatever, I add my thanks and glory that you are here this morning in this beautiful winter's day. It has been my privilege, particularly over the last couple of weeks, to visit a number of people who are quite elderly and some who are ill, some who are requesting communion. And if you would continue to feed me some names, I will follow up on those immediately. This week I saw a lot of people, mostly in their late 80s and mid-90s. There was a woman who was 96 years old, another 97 years old, and I almost feel like an auctioneer. Who'll give me a 98? Is there anybody? So I'm looking for the oldest person in the congregation, and I perhaps need your help in finding out who that might be. Our services, as you know, have been broadcast for some time, thanks to John. And I know last week I had an email from New Zealand. One of our parishioners at the early service is there for 3 months, and he listened to the service and wanted to pass on his welcome from down under to you. And we're anticipating with Anna Woodson and her mother, very critically ill in Alabama, she will probably be listening to this service as well. So sing out, folks. She loves music, and the family needs that support. God bless us all.
Let us stand as we worship God together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. May your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Would you be seated?
A reading from the book of Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Waited patiently for the Lord. He stooped and heard my cry. Lifted me up out of the pit, out of the miry and clay. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will sing. Thank you. set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm. Many shall see, many will see and hear. I will sing, sing a new song. 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 I'll long to sing this song. None compare to you. Many shall see, many will see and hear. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song.
Be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of Christ.
Lord, would you bless my words and touch all our hearts, that we will be open to the power and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, the Bible is a gold mine of themes for preaching. On any given Sunday, it's the preacher's job to dig deep and choose from the variety of ideas lying concealed beneath the surface. And hopefully, the one idea that we finally settle on will bring a word of grace and encouragement, sometimes a word of challenge. This morning, from among the Bible's many words, a few words virtually leapt off the page when I read them, words from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, I'll get around to telling you which words, but first I need to tell you why they jumped out at me. A while ago, I was at a dinner party with a group of friends. They were actually mostly in their 30s, and each of these people has a varying degree of commitment to the Christian faith and to church in particular. Now, I guess that's not unusual, especially among people in their 20s and 30s, but what is usual, when I'm at a party anyways, is that the topic of religion inevitably comes to the surface. I guess chiropractors are talking about backs and pastors are talking about religion. Well, one person at the dinner said, "I quit going to church because I realized that week after week, I was being scolded by the clergy. I don't need that kind of guilt." And another person admitted, "Well, frankly, going to church doesn't seem very appealing to me, or relevant for that matter, in comparison to some of the other things that I could be doing on Sunday mornings." Well, the conversation went on like this for a while until, well, I couldn't resist putting in my oar. "So tell me," I asked, "if you removed all those things, the guilt and the boredom factor, would it be enough to get you involved in the church again?" Well, this was one of those moments when you appreciate the honest candor of close friends. This is a group of people who have been a great encouragement to me over the years. Nevertheless, they candidly but gently said to me, "You know, Kevin, just because you decrease people's dissatisfaction does not mean that you necessarily increase their satisfaction." Well, it was because of this statement from forthright friends that the words from Isaiah, the words I'm eventually going to get around to telling you about, jumped out at me. These friends were right. People's satisfaction is not increased when their dissatisfaction is decreased. It doesn't matter, in fact, whether the issue is with the church or a job or a relationship. Just because you take away the things that make people grumble does not mean that you'll make them happy. Now, let me give you an example. When I was a student in high school and into university, in fact, I worked behind the counter in a German delicatessen in Windsor. And every Saturday, late in the afternoon, there was a man who came into the store wanting to buy a particular brand and size of dark rye bread. But because it was late in the afternoon, by the time he got there, we were usually sold out of the loaf he was looking for. So the old grouch would grumble at the staff and make everybody feel miserable as he did the rest of his shopping, complaining about how we never had what he wanted. Well, finally it occurred to me to set aside a loaf as soon as the bread was delivered on Saturday morning. So in the afternoon, when I saw the old grouch come into the store, I'd put the loaf of bread out on the counter where he'd find it. And do you know what happened now that he was getting his favorite loaf on a regular basis? He stopped grumbling about the bread and found something else to complain about. Apparently, his lunch meat wasn't being sliced thinly enough. Well, it just goes to show reducing people's dissatisfaction does not necessarily increase their level of satisfaction. This is, in fact, a phenomenon that's been pretty thoroughly studied. My forthright friends at the dinner party might not have known it, but it's called the two-factor theory about dissatisfaction and satisfaction. Now, let me just take a step sideways here for a second. From time to time, surveys are undertaken to determine what qualities in a local church Canadian Christians are looking for. Three responses top the list on a recurring basis. Lively, participatory worship with good music and preaching, strong youth ministry, and relevant social ministries. Now, when I think about these responses and think about the history of St. James Westminster, it seems to me that over the years, this parish has generally been on the right track if indeed these are the qualities that people in this church are looking for. The question, of course, is this. If a local parish like St. James is characterized by lively participatory worship with good music and preaching, strong youth ministry, and relevant social ministries, do these qualities increase people's satisfaction, or do they decrease people's level of dissatisfaction? Or, from the point of view of my friends at that dinner party, are these qualities likely to draw them deeper into the Christian faith, or simply give them fewer reasons to stay away? Good question. Thankfully, my friends at the dinner party were prepared to answer that question. They felt these qualities decrease dissatisfaction, but that they don't address the underlying issues that people are really wrestling with. Well, then I asked, if we're going to talk about religion all night, what are these underlying issues? Well, from a personal point of view, even giving honest examples from their own experience, my forthright friends gave three answers. First, for many people, church attendance is not a habit. Like a physical fitness regimen or a regular sleep pattern, a spiritual discipline needs to be a habit for it to be effective. Second, people have a measure of uncertainty about the existence of God, and more specifically, about Christian teaching. You know, uncertainty is not a bad thing at all. Some people think that the opposite of faith is doubt, but it's not. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. And faith deepens and grows through critical questioning. We need to be able to surface those things that we're wondering about, those things we feel uncertainties about. People need to feel the freedom to ask questions, and I'd suggest the church has a responsibility to help them with that. And third, they told me that the experience of attending church doesn't go deep enough to adequately address spiritual longing. People long for a sense of security and a sense of belonging. Really, it's about relationships, relationship with Jesus, relationship with one another, knowing that you're cared for by your brothers and your sisters. One thing that reverberated through this conversation at that dinner table was that, to a person, every one of my friends there had an aching for a deeper encounter with God. Truth is, none of us is a stranger to these kinds of spiritual longings, are we? I know what it's like to want a deeper sense of security and belonging, and I imagine you do too. And it's because of this spiritual longing that I believe people feel that the words from the Bible jumped off the page at me. The prophet Isaiah brought this message from God. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Isaiah offered a gracious response from God to the fearful and alienated people of Israel. In chapters 42 and 43 of Isaiah, tender words describe the depth of God's compassion for God's people. God's message to them is an antidote for spiritual longing. We long for a sense of security, and God says, do not fear. We long for a sense of belonging, and God says, I have called you by name. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Now, God knows the historic people of Israel were threatened by the experience of exile in Babylon under cruel masters, and it made them feel afraid. God knows they felt far from home, alienated and alone. And God wanted them, and now us, to know that God will never let us down, God will never forget us, no matter how threatening the circumstances. God will never let us down. God will never forget us, no matter how threatening the circumstances. God wanted them and us to know God loves us and calls us by name. So in the church, in this church, our job is to be Christ's representatives on earth. Some of you will recognize the name of the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was executed 6 weeks before the end of the Second World War for his role in a plot to assassinate Hitler. And Bonhoeffer had a word for this responsibility to be Christ's representatives on earth. In German, he said, each of us is to be a Vertreter. Now, sometimes it's translated agent, but scholars have suggested that the essence of Bonhoeffer's intent was to say that we are meant to be Christ's ambassadors. It's our job to be Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador is the local stand-in for the head of government. And to be a good ambassador requires determination, graciousness, an awareness of who we are and who we represent. In our case, Jesus Christ. To be a good ambassador requires these qualities to succeed. And you know, there's an axiom about success that I think is worth remembering. It's not that complicated, really. It's that successful people are willing to do what unsuccessful people are unwilling to do. It's not hard to understand. Successful people are willing to do what unsuccessful people won't do. It's our job as ambassadors to share our experience of faith with those who yearn to feel secure so they won't feel afraid. We have to have the willingness to do that. Because we've experienced it, it's our job to show by our words and actions that God loves and calls by name those who yearn for a sense of belonging. And one way of doing this, one simple way of doing this, is to make those who are strangers to us feel welcome, to actually call them by name, to make a real effort to remember them and what they've told you about what's going on in their life. We will have succeeded as ambassadors for Christ when those who feel spiritually dissatisfied begin to experience for themselves a sense of spiritual satisfaction. And I can confidently assure you that relationship is the beginning point for this. It's not about the functional stuff. It's about relationship. Now, I really should tell you something else about that old grouch in the delicatessen. Eventually, I did find out what his name was, Mr. Leifert. Each week, I began writing Mr. Leifert on the brown paper bag when I set aside his loaf of dark German rye bread. And whenever Mr. Leifert came into the store and I was waiting on him, I made an effort to call him by name. And soon some of the other staff in the store picked up the hint, and when they were waiting on him, they called him by name. And when the staff knew him by name, it seems that Mr. Leifert began to feel he belonged. Soon he quit being an old grouch and traded in his dissatisfied style for a satisfied one. God's message to us from the book of Isaiah is this: do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Our job is just to deliver that message. Let us stand now and confess the faith of our baptism as together we say, I believe in God,
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and
earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to death. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please assume a posture that is comfortable for you to pray.
Let us voice our cares and concerns, knowing that God is listening to us. Lord God, make yourself known to the people who come into our churches, or who pass by and sometimes wonder, but have not yet come in. Make us better bearers of your life to those who need you, but have never met you. True and living God,
we want to know you more.
Lord God, the world lurches from crisis to crisis, and there is much misleading and misdirecting. Help us recover the natural sense of what is right and just, honest and good, so that our hearts are inclined to hear the voice of your leading and respond to it. True and living God, Lord God, help us to take more seriously our responsibility of helping one another forward into faith as brothers and sisters. We pray those in our own families whom we would love to bring to know you, and for those who have drifted away. True and living God, Lord God, there are some who are going through very distressing, painful, and worrying times. We stand alongside them now and ask for your comfort, reassurance, healing, and peace of mind. God, we pray for Dan Lemansky, Bev Weethy, Sylvia Brightwell, Dave Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Anna Woodson, Emerson Muir, Eunice Smith, Rick, Rita, Rich, Al McMillan, Abby Woodson, Walter Bailey, Patrick Convoy, Monica, and we pray for the work of the selection committee. True and living God, Lord God, even as we pray now, there are those journeying through death. We pray for them, for all who have recently died, and for all those who left without their loved ones, grieving or numbed with shock. True and living God, Lord God, we thank you for all those who have directed us to know you better and for the way you are drawing us closer into friendship with you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have loved another. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with a gesture of Christ's peace.
Living God, you have revealed your Son as the Messiah. May we hear his word and follow it and live as children of light. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command all things came to be, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will they were created and have their being.
Glory to you forever and ever.
From the primal elements you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turn against you and betray your trust, and we turn against one another. Again and again you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly courts, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn.
Glory, glory.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given you thanks, he said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me."
Glory to you forever and ever.
Gracious God, we recall the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension, and we look with expectation for his coming as Lord of all the nations. We who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit now bring you these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at this holy table may share the divine life of Christ our Lord.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all.
Glory to you forever and ever. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
We break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world.
God, here among us, light in the midst of us, bring us to light and life.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
God of glory, you nourish us with bread from heaven. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that through us your light may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine.
Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Return now to the place where God has given you responsibility. Remember the peace and love we have shared, and do not fail to show forth that love to those around us. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. As we go in peace, don't forget to stop by for a cup of coffee and meet a new little baby named Emery. Let us go to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.